Welcome to the Hutt City Baptist podcast. For more information, visit us at huttbaptist.org.nz.
Let me tell you a story. Just imagine, it's Rome, about 60 AD, and a young man by the name of Antonius is about to sit down and have his evening meal in his second story, one room apartment. Sitting down to eat, most probably something like a root vegetable with some bread and some stale wine. He's alone, and he's eating a meal. Why is he alone? See, Antonius, even though he has a Roman name, he's actually Jewish. The Jews have been in Rome at this time for up to about 200 years. And they had really acclimated to Rome. In fact, the Jews began naming their children with Roman names. Their synagogues had Roman names. The Romans and the Jews got along pretty well. But then something happened to the Jewish community over the years, something that kind of turned things on its head. Some cultish group started forming. They called themselves Christians. And they were saying things that the Jews felt was quite blasphemous. Antonius had heard these words from these Christians, and he gave his life to this movement, to this follower of this Jesus who started this movement. And because of that, his family kicked him out. Antonius didn't have a family anymore. And on this night that he's having this meal, he's feeling that loss. He's feeling that loneliness. You know, growing up as a kid, all those traditions, you know, all the family dinners, he's imagining at this point his own family, parents and siblings and aunts and uncles all getting together as they did every night to have a meal. And all the celebrations, the Jewish feasts that were so much part of his childhood, they're all gone. They won't allow him to partake in any of that. In fact, when he sees them on the streets, when he's walking around town, they ignore him completely. But on this night, he's just a little bit excited. Apparently, there's a letter that's come from the East. And a lot of these letters would come from the East, in particular from a guy named Paul. And they were always a great source of encouragement. And this night was quite exciting for him because he really, really needed some encouragement. A couple, an older Christian couple in the part of town were inviting, you know, a gathering. There was going to be about 20 or so. They were all going to get together, and one of the elders there was going to read out this letter, and he was psyched. Finished his meal, cleans up, heads out onto the streets. Rome, even in the evening, you know, it wasn't like 5 o'clock, everything's shut. Rome was still a busy city at night, and he ran down, just got in time as they're about to unroll this big scroll. It wasn't a letter in this instance. It was actually the transcript of a sermon that was preached back in the East. And it started like this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And Antonius is home. Antonius is not much different to us today. He was called by Christ to give his life up to follow Jesus. And so have we. It's what we call a calling. A calling that is everything. you and I are just like Antonius. Jesus, when he began his ministry, thank you. He called people. He called us. And it began real simply in Matthew chapter 4. From verse 18, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and left their father and followed him. This calling must cost us. It cost everything for Antonius. It cost his family. It cost his heritage. It cost his friendships. For the apostles, it cost their livelihood. You imagine how Zebedee would have felt. You know, he's getting the nets ready. He's got his boys with him. Guys, we're going out to fish. Come on, this is our livelihood. We're going to get to the markets by evening so we can sell the fish. And they just drop to follow some stranger that tells them to follow them. You imagine Peter gets home that night to Mrs. Peter. How was work today, honey? Yeah, it was interesting. I've left my job. What? Yeah. I've got a great new opportunity. Oh, terrific. What are you doing? Following this guy. Oh, okay. What's the pay? Kind of vague on that at the moment. Oh, okay. And medical benefits? Yeah, he heals. It costs them everything. And that changes everything. That changes everything. It changed everything for Peter. It changed everything for Andrew. It changed everything for the apostles. And for Antonius, it changed everything. How much has following Jesus changed your life? We are called to follow Jesus. There is a calling, and sometimes we get confused with this. I'm called to be a pastor, and we call that a calling. You know, Moses and others were called. Abraham, leave your home. I'm calling you to this land. Don't know where it is, but you just follow me. Moses is called to go to Egypt, and so is Elijah, to stand up to the prophets of Baal, to stand up against Ahab, the king. Also, David was called, face Goliath. You can do this. Also, a calling went to Esther to intercede for my people. Stand up to the genocidal Haman who wants to destroy your people. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego face the fiery furnace. We all have a specific calling, but we mustn't forget the first calling, the calling. We all might have specific tasks in our days. Rob's going to be up here preaching. That's his task. Or someone has a real heart to work with the women's ministry. Or some of us have a real calling to do other things. But never do we forget the first calling, the primary calling, the main thing. And that calling is broken up into three ways. First, we're called to worship. Remember when we're in the temple? Remember in the holy place, there were three things. These three things signified kind of the expression of who God is. But they also express our calling. We're called to worship God. Jesus, when he answers the Satan in his temptation, he says this, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This is our primary calling, to worship. We're also called to commune. Inside the temple, there was the bread and the wine, sign of communion, to commune with God, but also to commune with one another. One Peter 2, 4 to 8. You also, like living stones, are built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are called to commune with God and commune with one another. In Hebrews chapter 10, Paul talks about, you know, don't give up meeting with one another like some of you have done. It's actually really important that you commune with one another. Jesus, in his prayers to the Father, says, I pray they may be one. But how can you be one if you don't hang out with one another, live with one another, share with one another, live out of each other's pockets, commune with one another, worshiping God one another, with one another? It's a calling. It's part of the calling. We're called to worship. We're called to commune. It's interesting, I met with a pastor this week. His church is struggling, and he's getting a bit of pressure because part of the pressure we put on church leaders is if the church is not growing in numbers, then something might be missing. Maybe we need some fresh leadership in to kind of give it all go. Yeah, that's what you do with companies. It's not what you do with the church of God. It needs a new vision. Really. I'm sure that's how God worked it in the, when he was out in the desert with the 40 years with the Israelites. Okay, you know what? This is not working. We need a new vision here. Hey, Moses, love you, bro, but look, the crowd's just not growing here. They're just annoying. Maybe we need new leadership. The problem this church is declining isn't because of leadership. It isn't because of vision. It's because we turn church into some consumeristic, what can I get out of it, place. So I'll go to another church where I can be fed, where I like to be fed. I can listen to music the way I want to be listening to music. They can do what I think they should be doing, or I need to listen to what I should be hearing. And we forget about communing. We forget about it being a calling. We forget it about being a place of obedience, of giving up to God. And we treat it like a merry-go-round. And these churches decline because they can't offer what we demand. They become like yesterday's fashion. It's a calling. You are called to this place. You're called to this community. You're called to the work that God's doing here. And you need to take that seriously. We need to take that seriously. It's easy for the pastor, isn't it? They just give up and move here and do that. But it's just as hard as it is for you guys as well. We're called to worship. We're called to commune. Live in community with one another, worshiping our God. We're also called to mission. We're also called to mission. In Matthew 28, Jesus kind of gives these parting words. I've shared with this a couple of years ago with you, but I thought it'd be good to bring it back up. He said this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. All authority has been given, not to me, to all of us. All authority hasn't just been given to the elders, it's been given to all of us. Therefore, go, not the pastor of evangelism, all of us, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have taught you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This is the basis of the mission of the church. The basis of who we are. Breaking it down, I'll give you the important aspect of this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. You know, again, in English, you lose so much of the imagery of the words that are sitting there that just speaks so much more. I mean, in Greek, porethetes means to journey, go on a journey. It doesn't just mean, hey, you know, book a train or, you know what, just go. It's like, go on a journey. This is actually kind of big. Pack your bags. It's a big deal. We're going on a journey. Porethetes, come on, let's go. Isn't just a commander, go. there's excitement behind the word, right? And sometimes you just think, therefore, go. I need to go. Well, where am I going? I don't know. But hey, but God's about a journey. It's so much more than just going. Go on a journey. And then Mathese Suate is just, this word is incredible. It says to learn and impart learning. We just think go and make disciples. And that's really pretty straightforward, right? But actually the word means so much more. Mathetes is disciple, but suate means, hey, everything. Not just go and teach, but go and learn. I'm going to send you on a journey. I want you to go and learn. I want you to learn more about me, because when you serve me and when you submit to me and when you follow me, you are going to be learning. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be growing just as much as you're going to be teaching and challenging and growing the people around you. Pente. We translate it as every day, but actually the word is like every. So I find it interesting that we threw day on there, because actually it's just every. Every time, every way, every moment, everything. Go on a journey to learn and impart learning to ethne. That last word, ethne, is where we get the word ethnicity, ethnic. And again, ethne in its form here is saying not just to people, but with people. And this is our mission. Our mission is to go on a journey with one another, to learn and impart learning every day to people and with people. Our mission. Our call is threefold. And this is a basic call that goes for everybody in this room. We are called to worship. In our vision statement, we call it strong in faith, because we believe in developing a worshipful heart. Sometimes it's through singing. Other times it's through Bible study. Some other points it's with fellowship and prayer. This is a core element of who we are as a church. We're called to worship, and we're also called to grow you in faith and equip you to be able to worship the living God. As you enter into that most holy place and you smell the incense of worship and just connecting with God, that is our primary calling. Our other calling also is to commune, and that is rich in love. We're called to love our God and to love one another. And here's the challenge. I think a lot of us tend to find it a lot easier to love our community out there than to love the community in here. For some of us, it's a lot easier to love out there than it is in here, because people in here can drive us crazy. Because they believe weird things. They make us do certain things. I don't really connect with them anyway. Kind of like family, right? Who's got the weird uncle? Every time you get together, you're like, oh, really? Yeah. All the wayward sibling, right? The one who always has to be the black sheep, the whole thing, right? It's part of family. If we are united in here, if we are one in here, oh my goodness, what kind of an impact would that have on the world around us? Because let me tell you, the world doesn't know what one means. They don't know what unity means. We keep relying on politicians to unite us, but it never unites anybody. It divides us. Only through the power of Jesus Christ can we unite. We have it in this room, and if we can't do it here, rich in love, we're called to love. That's why there's this bread and wine on the table when you enter into this holy place. God is communing with us through Jesus Christ. He connects us. He brings us to Him. When God sees us, He doesn't just see us. He sees the blood of Jesus standing before Him. One. And lastly, to mission, which is actually really hard. It's really hard to be an Antonius or an apostle. We're, you know, giving up everything to do what God has called us to do and spread His word, to share His love. to disciple people, to take time out, to meet with one another, to meet with your neighbor, to help feed those who are hungry, to help comfort those who are hurting, to share the love of Christ. It's not an easy thing. You know, it's interesting. I hear this so often, you know, people who come to me and say, hey, I feel that there's this calling in my life, but I don't have any peace in it. And I'm like, you know, God doesn't give you peace when it comes to calling. He challenges you. You don't get peace on this side of the calling, you get peace on that side of the calling after it's done. Moses going to Egypt had no peace, I can tell you that. I'm sure Abraham, even though it sounds like he just gets up and leaves, yeah, a little bit of worry there. And I can tell you, even coming for me to Wellington, yeah, a little bit of peace, but a bit of apprehension as well. Peace comes on the other side of obedience. Do what God is calling you to do and trust that he'll be with you. As Jesus says at the end of that statement in Matthew 28, for I will be with you always. Because he knows you're not going to feel much peace in doing what he's calling you to do. So let me just give you a little heads up here, people. I'll be with you, okay? Don't worry, I'm with you. It's interesting in Acts chapter 4 when, you know, Peter, who goes through this roller coaster ride of, you know, dropping everything to follow Jesus, but then when the going gets really tough, he turns his back on Jesus, and then Jesus calls him back and says, mate, I forgive you, it's all cool. And then all of a sudden in Acts, you just see him with boldness, getting back to the roots of his calling, the calling that Christ gave him. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I love biblical scholars who translate the Bible. They're so nice to us. The word ordinary in Greek is idiotas. Does anyone want to know what that is in English? So, oh, we can't put that in the Bible. Let's just say ordinary. No, they were idiots. Unschooled idiots. This is Luke writing it. He's a doctor. He knows what he's writing about, okay? Always meticulous about making sure putting in the right word. And look at their power. Just by the calling that they had in their lives. It had nothing to do with some great, you know, I'm going to go and save the people. I'm going to feed the world. I'm going to eliminate poverty. They're just obedient to worshiping, communing, and just following through on the mission that God's laid before them. And these guys changed the world. They changed the world. They gave their lives as unschooled idiots and changed the world more than you can imagine, just because they're obedient to the calling. The calling is more about the person you become than the circumstances you have it. The calling that God has given you, he's not, yes, there's this things that he wants you to do, but his primary goal is about you and the person that you become. It's more about who you become than what you accomplish. About what you become more than whatever you accomplish. We say David was a great king, but you know, God was mainly interested in his heart. You know, Solomon was wise, but God was primarily interested in his heart. Peter, strong man, but at the end of the day, God was just interested in his heart. And this heart change is what changed the people around him. Our calling is to worship, to commune, and to mission. This is something we all have together. And part of our faith statement, our vision statement, is to train and to grow people in faith, to reach out in love to one another and to the world around us, and to be released in action to see this mission happen. This is all our calling. Set aside what I do, what I'm good at, set aside what I think I should do or shouldn't do. This is what God has called us to be, his people. And that alone is a big challenge, hey? Big challenge. Understanding the call and understanding what it's about helps us understand why we even gather here on Sunday mornings. Why we even do the things we do. Why is church the way church is? Without understanding the call, we will never understand church. And that's the challenge of next week when I talk to you about what is church. Cool? I'll share with you one last verse from, it's a comment by St. Teresa of Avila. She says this, Christ has no body now but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion must look out in the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good, and yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now. Father God, as your people here gathered this morning, called to this place to see your kingdom grow in this little patch you've given us, to worship you, to commune with one another, and to follow through on your mission for us. Father God, help us to be the hands and the feet of Christ, to grow stronger in faith, richer in love, and not just talk about it, but be released to action. That we may disciple and grow people in Jesus' name, and challenge and grow one another. Amen.